The Brad Stevens interview is brought to you by Star Market. Check out the Star Market Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com.
All right, before we jump into tonight's game, let's do a quick recap of Denver. Yep. And it was always good to see Isaiah Thomas. Even though you guys lost, I saw you pointing out where he should be taking shots during pregame. It was always good to see an old friend like that.
It really is. And in that moment, when I walked out there, I knew he would be on the court early. He always got there before the other team even walked through. But when he was shooting, he used to shoot or practice shots that were out of bounds behind the backboard and shot him at a weird, funky angle. And I always used to tell him, like, what's the point other than your own interest level? And then when we played Atlanta in the playoffs a few years ago, he caught the ball, like, fading, and he faded out of bounds as he shot it and basically shot it from the same angle that he always practiced, and he drilled it. And I said, never mind. Good point. Point taken, point made. It was great to see him. I thought the video was great. I know he was certainly appreciative and got to spend some time afterwards with him. And, you know, I know that meant a great deal to him.
And like you said, before the game and after the game, Denver is really, really good. Unfortunately, something that you found out that night also.
I think they're terrific. And I think what makes them a little bit unique are all the passing bigs. And then every guard on their team can floor it. They can beat their man one-on-one. They can beat their man with an advantage. I think that's really unique. And it's interesting as we've become more of a 3-and-D league where you have multiple people that are alike at the 1 through 4. If you have all those guys and they can really put the ball on the floor, that makes it super tough to guard.
All right, let's fast forward to a couple of notes before we get to the game itself. I know Gordon Hayward is out. He's not here. He had a big game the last time you played Philadelphia. He's in concussion protocol. Is there hope he can play Saturday?
There is hope that he can play Saturday. He felt better today. He'll go through some more stuff tomorrow. And I would say that if we see him on Friday at our practice, then it would be likely he'd play Saturday. And if he's not at a practice on Friday, I'd say he's probably not playing Saturday. That would be my guess.
And then Kyrie at shoot-around today casually told the media that he's going to sit out a couple of games before the end of the season. We didn't hear from you first, so it was kind of a surprise. But just hearing what you just told the media before we sat down here, you're on board with that.
Well, I think that we need to be playing well and have good health going in. And it's good health is obviously the most important thing. But I do think there's a balance because you need to have your rhythm. You need to be in a great rhythm. I thought last year we were really fortunate because we were basically locked into the 2 seed for the last 5 games. And we could play guys appropriately and rest guys appropriately. And I thought it was very beneficial as we enter the playoffs. And so I think, you know, we're going to prioritize playing great. And at the same time, some guys are going to have nights where they're not playing.
All right. You've seen this Philadelphia team 3 different times. You've won all 3 games. But I would think in your mind, what really matters is the last game because they had changed a lot when you saw them last. Yeah. They've kind of evolved since then. They're playing really, really well right now. What do you see? It's tough to get 5 guys who are used to having the basketball to all play together. Brett Brown seems to have done that with these 5.
Well, I think and Simmons is unique in that regard because he doesn't need it long. He's just going to initiate the offense. He's going to be able to pick his spots early in transition. And then when they get into the half court and the defense is set, they usually go through, you know, one of those other 4 guys. I think, you know, obviously Redick early in the game has always been absolutely a nightmare to guard, and he can get going. And if you let him get going, the late game's tough too. But then Embiid and Harris and Butler, they've kind of balanced going to all 3 of them in very similar actions. And so they haven't had to tweak a whole lot. They've just run their stuff and made small tweaks for Butler and Harris.
Does them coming home after traveling on the second night of a back-to-back matter at this point in the season at all? Or everyone sees the playoffs, they're right ahead of you. I would think that would carry you at this point.
There's no the back-to-back thing is overrated. Once guys get out there and get going, it's overrated. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, Embiid didn't even play last night. So I would say that doesn't matter.
All right, Embiid obviously had trouble shooting the ball the last time you guys played, but he is so unique in that he can stick the ball from outside and score sometimes at well inside. How do you defend that?
Well, he's 29% from 3 and 38% from the long 2. So I think you have to be solid in your closeouts. You can't fly by him. I mean, he's a lot better at the rim, and he's a lot better in the paint. He's great from the free throw line, and he gets to the free throw line all the time. Now, he can go on runs, and so you're gauging it by, you know, a little bit like the game last time. I mean, if he starts hitting threes like he did at the end of our game last time, we've got to be a little bit more alert to that. But for the most part, we try to play him inside out and make it as tough as possible and rotate those two big bodies on him.
Last question. It has to do with J.J. Redick. You brought him up, and we all know how good a shooter he's been, but he had one of those nights last night, 7 threes. He had nearly had a triple-double. Do you pay a little extra attention to a shooter that was particularly hot the night before entering a game like this?
No, there's no way that J.J. Redick could have made me any more scared of him last night than I already was. I mean, you lose sleep over those guys. And, you know, and our players will be the first to tell you that when they're in transition, I'm yelling Redick. You know, like, we have to have unbelievable urgency on him. We've done a good job on him in the past, but he's a game changer for him. And he's, you know, an 18-point-a-game scorer this year. He's having probably his best year of his career, yeah. At least the best that I can remember. And I didn't watch the Clippers' years as close, but he's been dynamite. And when he's going, it opens up things for everybody else.
That's Brad Stevens. The Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers are coming up next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.